Welcome to the week 9 edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We're back for another week and back after another Eagles loss. The Eagles lost 15-7 to the New York Giants last Sunday, and once again they lost a quarterback in the process. Michael Vick re-injured his hamstring, his status uncertain going forward. The Eagles play the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, and it looks like they'll have Nick Foles back. Foles was back at practice on Tuesday after missing a week with a concussion. He split snaps with Matt Barkley at practice. We'll have all the latest for you this week on the quarterback situation in the Philadelphia Inquirer. But you'll be able to hear from Foles himself later in this show. First, we'll talk to my partner on the beat, Jeff McClain, and we'll discuss a variety of topics. Foles' future, Barkley's future, the biggest surprises and disappointments from the first half of the season, and much more. So it's a full show, and I'd be remiss if I didn't update you on one other note. Isaac Sopoaga was dealt on Tuesday right before the trade deadline to the New England Patriots. The Eagles traded Sopoaga in a sixth-round pick for a fifth-round pick. Sopoaga was signed this offseason to play nose tackle in the Eagles 3-4, although he was only used on rushing downs. So that was the trade. The average age of the Eagles lineman is now 24. Look for third-round pick Benny Logan to be a big beneficiary of this change. Damien Square will now be active on game day. Square, of course, the rookie free agent from Alabama. And Cedric Thornton and Fletcher Cox are the constants on the defensive line. They're two young building blocks. So pay attention to that. That there is the news of the day, along with the Foles returning to practice. It's a busy week as usual, and to catch you up on all the storylines, here's my talk with Jeff McClain. As always, we're joined here with my fellow beat writer from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Jeff McClain. And Jeff, another busy week with the quarterbacks. It seems each week we're talking about the quarterbacks. But Matt Barkley, Nick Foles, what's your read on this situation and how it will go Sunday in Oakland?
Well, I mean, it looks like that Nick Foles will start Sunday if he's been cleared medically, Zach, to to return to practice. I don't see any reason why he won't be clear to play in the game. Sure, he could have a setback, but generally when a player is cleared by doctors following a concussion, he's ready to go. So I assume that we'll see Nick on Sunday, and it's an important game for him. He's got to really show that he's able to bounce back from what was probably the worst performance of his NFL career and possibly his football playing career. And maybe, I don't know if it'll be his last shot, Zach. I don't know, you tell me what you think, but I think it's getting to that point where he's got to show them something that he can really bounce back from this and show them that he has at least a shot to be their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part there that I'm torn on is what's the best play for Chip here. I mean, at some point this year, if the Eagles are out of it, you're going to want to see what Matt Barkley is. And I don't know if this week would be a good week to do it in terms of Nick coming back. But I agree with you that if Nick's healthy, you got to put him in there. And I've been critical of Foles, but I don't think he was as bad as he looked in that Cowboys game. And I do think that the offense can be more effective this week with him in there. But I look at this offense, the fact that they haven't scored a touchdown in the past two games, and they've had Foles in there, they've had Vick in there, they've had Barkley in there. I think it goes beyond the quarterbacks. I know Chip says it's a quarterback instability thing, and there is validity to that. But this is representative of the playmakers on offense, and Chip is a play caller. What's your read on the offense's woes right now?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and Chip kind of said as much, but kind of half-heartedly, if you ask me. It was only after he was really strong on not having his quarterbacks playing as well as they should be and not having essentially his quarterbacks healthy. He did mention the playmakers and how certain guys aren't getting things done, and, you know, it's a game of inches, blah, blah, blah. But I do feel that while there is some truth to that, it probably falls on Chip more than those guys. He is the coach, and it is his offense, and he needs to find ways to get LeSean McCoy some more running lanes. I mean, they were there earlier in the season, and I think now the defense has adjusted, and they've kind of followed this template in terms of going man-to-man against the receivers with a single high safety, and that way, you know, that way they can bring another safety down to the box to help stop McCoy, but they've had trouble getting him space to run. And Chip, I think, you know, I'm really interested to see. I thought he did kind of adapt to the skill set of Nick against the Buccaneers and the fact that he kind of had a power running game, and he had some sweeps and didn't do a lot of zone read. But it's still in there a decent amount, even if it's not technically, you know, with the option to run. They still pass out of that set, and it's still kind of the centerpiece of the offense. And I just got to wonder if that's going to work when you have quarterbacks like Nick Foles and Matt Barkley under center.
Well, that's
or
a good
in shotgun, or in the shotgun to be more.
To be behind center. That's what we need to get used to saying here. But that's a good segue into talking about Barkley, because he's been the common denominator these past two games. He's played in both, has not thrown a touchdown yet, has four interceptions, has one fumble lost. And you can look at it and say he's been put in untenable situations where especially in that first game where the team was only throwing. But for fourth-round picks, it's not like you get so many opportunities. And the sample size is small to say Matt Barkley can't succeed in this offense or can't succeed in the NFL. But from what I've seen from Barkley so far, I don't know if he can be a starting quarterback in the league, at least in this type of offense. Maybe in a West Coast offense without as much of a vertical component. But I don't know about this offense in particular.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I look at both quarterbacks, I think Nick's upside is certainly greater than Matt's, and maybe even significantly. I think we do have to give Matt a little time here.
Absolutely, yeah.
I spoke to a scout, actually, about Barkley, and he wasn't as down on his arm strength as I am, saying that a lot of that has to do with his comfort and not being completely sure of himself in the offense, and that's why maybe the throws aren't as confident. He's not stepping into it as much, and you know, some of it has to certainly come from the fact that he's being thrown out there without a week of full preparation. So I want to give him a little time before I kind of completely dismiss him. But that being said, generally when you see quarterbacks in the first year, Zach, you see something that tells you this guy's got a shot. And there's certain things I like that Mac does. I love his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know, I think he does stand tall in the pocket. I think he knows where the ball should go. I think he gets it out fairly quickly. But I really worry about that arm strength thing. And then, of course, there have been other issues. There has been some decision-making problems. But I think those can be corrected. It's the arm strength thing. You know, your arm can only get so strong. There's really not much you can do about it at this point in your life.
And the unknown about both Foles and Barkley, it leads us to Vic, because I would say the most talented quarterback on this roster is Michael Vick, but the injuries have been a concern for a long time. And Vic, when I spoke to him last week, he said he needs to prove that he can stay on the field. He couldn't even get past halftime of his return game, and we don't know how long this hamstring injury is going to be. But I look at this almost like a lose-lose proposition for him, in that if the team wins games while he's out, you're probably going to want to stick to the hot hand, to the guy who's winning for you. If the team loses games while he's out, the Eagles might be so far out of contention that you're going to want to see what you have in Barkley and Foles. So that leads to the obvious question, which is, has Philadelphia seen the last of Michael Vick?
I mean, there's certainly a chance of that, just based off what you said, Zach, and I think you make a very strong point that, you know, win or lose, there's going to be very little reason for Michael Vick to play from here on out. But that being said, I do feel as though, one, we don't know how long the hamstring's going to keep him out. If it keeps him out through the bye, then yeah, your theory probably will prove correct, barring no injuries. But as you said, and I believe he's definitely the best guy to run this offense if he's completely healthy. And if the Eagles are kind of still hanging around the playoffs and he's healthy, you got to go with Mike. So that's one reason why I wouldn't rule him out. The other reason is, as I kind of briefly mentioned before, is Nick has shown that he probably isn't the most durable quarterback as well. He's now missed two games because of injury since late last season. And while it's a little different than the kind of the injuries that Michael has sustained, you got to wonder whether another injury is around the bend, just the way this season has played out for Chip Kelly and his quarterback. So in that case, I can't rule out Michael not playing again on the team. And as we spoke about last week, I haven't ruled him out for next year either, although I think the chances are extremely low, that he won't be back.
Now, the Eagles are 3-5 here at the halfway point. It doesn't seem like the halfway point because there hasn't been the bye week yet, and they don't have a bye until the week before Thanksgiving. But they are only one game back out of a really poor NFC East at this point in the season. So if you look at it at the halfway point, 8 weeks into the Chip Kelly era here, what's the most pleasant surprise and what's the biggest disappointment?
Oh, well. Most pleasant surprise, I would say, is Thornton. He's played at a Pro Bowl level, I think, especially against the run. I don't think he has the burst and the explosion that Fletcher Cox has out of the defensive end position in terms of the pass rush. But he has really helped that defense against the run. He's been kind of a pillar in the middle there. He's constantly making stops against the run. And if he isn't, he's kind of busting things up and forcing them into the hands of other linebackers. So he's really been a nice surprise. His contract is up for this year, but the Eagles have his rights and probably will give him a long-term contract, I think, in the offseason. And the biggest disappointment to me probably has been, I hate to say it, Chip Kelly. So I'll say a little more, I'll narrow a little bit more on the offense. I think we saw in the first half against the Redskins what it was capable of, but it kind of, even when they were putting up a lot of yards over the next several weeks, they had Mike healthy, they had LeSean McCoy, and you had DeSean Jackson. And there certainly were, they were on pace for, setting all kinds of franchise records, but there was still something missing to me. And I'm not really sure what it was, but there were turnovers, there were some mistakes and penalties against the Broncos. And, as we saw, Michael, before he got hurt, wasn't playing so great in the offense. He only completed like 46% of his passes in those three games. And then Nick, while he did okay in Tampa Bay, did well in Tampa Bay and fine coming in for the Giants game, it looked pretty bad against the Cowboys. So I'll say the offense, Chip Kelly's offense, is the biggest disappointment to me. For me at this point,
I would say that the most pleasant surprise at this point, frankly, has been the defense. I thought this was going to be a very bad year for the defense, and it looked like it was going to be that way early in the season. But 17 points against the Cowboys, 15 points against the Giants, I'm impressed by that. They've gotten better, and I do think Bill Davis is a good defensive coordinator. I was skeptical of the hire when they made it. I'm still skeptical of the personnel. I don't know if they have ideal personnel for the scheme, but I'm impressed by the production in recent weeks, really since the Denver game. The biggest disappointment, I agree with you there on the offense. I would say Mike Vick's health. I didn't think Mike was going to play 16 games, but for him at this point in the season to have two injuries, I look at it and say you brought him back to be the quarterback here, essentially. I know there was a competition, but they made an investment in Vic, and the fact that he's had two injuries by week eight is a major concern, and it's something where the team needs to figure out their quarterback going forward. So then the last thing I'm curious about as we wrap up here is going into the back stretch of the schedule going to the second half here. What's the one storyline that you're looking at the most?
Well, I don't want to touch upon the quarterbacks because we killed it already, but,
besides quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'll mention a facet of that, or at least down the road. I mean, I'm more interested to see how these college quarterbacks play because, you know, I think it's almost a certainty that Chip is going to draft one of them in May. So it'll be interesting to see how Marcus Mariota and Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater and Taj Boyd, et cetera, all the rest of those guys, how they fare, you know, in November to the conference championship games and then, you know, finally the bowl games, because it's going to decide a lot. How they play is going to decide how the draft shakes out. And, of course, where the Eagles land in the pecking order of that first round will decide it as well. So I think that'll be probably one of the things I'll be watching, along with the team. But I think at some point, Zach, if they you know, lose the next two games, they certainly could and become 3-7. I know that maybe mathematically they won't be out of the playoffs, but they'll be getting close to that point, and I think it's time to start looking at the future.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's true. And for me, I'm looking at last year's draft. I want to see the 2013, the top two picks, Lane Johnson and Zach Ertz. These guys need to be true building blocks. They can't be marginal players. They can't be average players. These guys need to be building blocks of Chip's offense. So when you have the number 4 and the number 35 pick in the draft, and you invested in offensive players, that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing, the development of those two guys. So that's what we have here. As always, Jeff, appreciate your time, and we have a trip to the Bay Area this weekend, and then we will talk next week, and we will probably have more to say on the quarterback. So thanks for joining us, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Zach.
So that was Jeff McClain, and of course, one of the things we discussed was Nick Foles and Foles' performance against the Dallas Cowboys, which really was a departure from what he had done the week before against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when it looked like Foles would threaten Michael Vick for the starting quarterback spot. And the big question this week is not just if Foles is going to start against the Raiders, but what happened in that Cowboys game, and whether that Cowboys game was more of an indication of the type of player that he is, or if it was simply just a bad day. Nick Foles spoke to reporters for the first time since the Cowboys game on Tuesday, and here is what he had to say.
So do you think you're ready to play again?
I am. Great, everything. So good. Felt good out there today. You know, it was a long week last week, and just the most important thing was getting healthy and had a lot of support. And I felt great. It was great getting back out there with the team and felt like we had a good day today.
Nick, what happened in that Cowboy game?
You know, there's a lot of things. I personally didn't execute like I needed to. I was inaccurate on certain throws that I'm usually very accurate on. And just watching the film, there's big plays that, you know, I missed and I see. And it's one of those things where, you know, I had a little bit longer because I didn't play last week, obviously. So I didn't have the next game to move on to. But I see those things, and it was great to get out there today and work on it and get back into my footwork, get back into delivering the ball with authority, and just really focus on that thing. It's hard to watch those games, but like I've said, you treat wins and losses like when you're watching a game, you got to be critical. So I'm always very critical on myself. And I see the mistakes. I did not play well, but that doesn't mean that's, you know, one game has never defined me and it never will. I'm going to continue to work and get better, and that's what today was for.
And now you have your 24-hour rule about letting that game go. But how motivated are you to get back out on that field and show that was an aberration?
I'm excited just because, you know, anytime you suffer an injury, you never know what's going to happen. And just you really realize, you know, how fortunate we are to play this game and be out here with these guys. And it's important to play at a high level. So once I was able to watch the film, you know, I watched it and I was critiquing. And I was excited to get back out here to work and get things going, you know, get things heading in the right direction.
Are you certain limited at all before you suffered a concussion?
No, I was healthy.
Are you certain the concussion?
At the moment in your career in that Dallas game, do you feel like you let
No, I don't. I just didn't play well. I saw it on film, and I'm so critical on myself. I see it, and, you know, I was able to. But there's also things there during the game that I saw the reason I didn't go place with the ball, and for sometimes you feel like you see things, and I was able to watch film and see why I didn't do it. And then maybe sometimes, you know, I can throw, so, you know, I saw what I did, and then I'm able to correct, like, maybe I can throw the ball like this or different things. So, sure, it was tough, but the pressure wasn't the thing. It's just I didn't play well. And, you know, I got to make sure in those games, they weren't a lot of man coverage. I got to be very accurate with the ball, and I wasn't, and that's on me. That's something that I'm going to get out here, I'm going to work on it. And as a person, because they've, I play quarterback for a reason. I want the ball in my hands. I want to be able to make the decision. I want to be able to deliver. I did not do that game, and it was tough to deal with. Just, you know, there's a big game just playing in the league, always playing in front of fans. So it was tough, but I'm also motivated to get better, and I got to keep pushing. I can't let that game get me down. It was tough, but I'm going to let it, you know, use it as motivation to, hey, this is what I need to work on. I'm going to work on and get better.
Well, you sound scary.
What do you think you need to show the coaches and shit next few days of practice to get the start against the Raiders?
Just to show them I have command. Just anything. You want to have command of the huddle, command of where you're going with the ball. You want to be assertive where you're going with the ball. You don't want to be just in the jittery feet, or you want to, hey, here, be deliberate in your reach, deliberate when you throw. And just, you know, I really just be myself. I just got to go out there and play the game. I know how to play.
Are you certain?
How scary was that? Were there symptoms? Did you have any memory loss or anything like that?
You know, symptoms I'm going to keep to myself. It's tough. It's very tough. There's a lot of adversity, but, you know, I've always, you know, had my family there. They were great supporting me, because concussion is not something that you want to go through, but they were great to support me. My teammates were great to support me, coaching staff. So a week later, I feel great, feel healthy. It was great being back out there. And I'm excited to just keep going.
Are you certain that the concussion occurred on that last play?
Yeah. I just did not play well before that. Okay. It's on me, but I'm going to get better because of it. I'm going to make sure I get better from it.
Nick, Pat had said that you and Matt were going to split the reps. Now that you know you're fine, I don't know if you'll show the coaches that, do you need or want more reps during the week because you just can't?
No, I you know, I want to be out there playing. You know, we'll go through our normal reps with the, you know, first team reps. You know, that'll be their decision. But I feel great and I'm ready to go.
So do you want more reps? If you are you splitting them?
We'll go through. Our normal reps that we go through during the week. You know, I know that today was a good day to go out here and just get back in the swing of things. You know, splitting the reps, getting things going, seeing where I'm at, just because it's been a week. I haven't really been able to do anything for a week physically, so try doing that and then going out here playing at a high level. But I felt great, and we'll go back to our normal reps that we normally do when I'm healthy.
How long did it take you last week to get ready?
So you'll get a little more reps in half an hour. Okay. But that's up to the coaches, so I'm not – that's who you want
to
ask.
How long before you were back to normal last week? What was the process like to get back to today?
The first couple of days were, you know, tough. A lot of it's just resting, coming here, getting treatment. And then towards the end of the week, started getting better and better. And then, you know, every day I felt like I excelled. And then yesterday, went through all the tests and was cleared. And today felt great out there.
Well, you had a concussion before?
I had one previous. And
when was that?
My freshman year in college. So ways ago, but been very fortunate. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
What was the process for rewatching the film? When did you get to do that? Were you by yourself watching with the coaches?
Yeah, I was by myself 2 days ago. Was able to just go through it and break it down, and, you know, I had some notes from the coaches and was able to see what they saw, and then I'm already critical of myself. And I you know, you play this game long enough, you sort of can coach yourself, and I was able to see, like, why I wasn't accurate. And that's what, going out here today, I was able to focus on my fundamentals. All right, this is what I need to do to be accurate with the ball, because it really is a game of inches. You know, ball, you know, this guy around that way, it's right here. It's really hard to catch. If I put it right here, it's a big play. And that was the difference in a lot of plays. I was inaccurate, and I take pride in being an accurate quarterback. So that's something I really got to get back to and really focus on this week.
In the past, after losses, you put a lot on your shoulders. What's your confidence level like right now after a performance like that?
I feel very confident. Yeah. I feel very, very confident. Same comments I had, you know, after the Tampa game, after the wins, you know, after a loss, it is tough. That's why there is that 24-hour rule, because when you lose and you have a tough game and stuff like that, you do feel emotions. You're a human. You play bad. You sometimes, you know, it creeps in that you let everybody down, but then you got to get back to it, and you're like, hey, I can't mope. I can't do this. You got to study the film, and you got to, you know, man up and get after it. So that's why, You know, that's why I approach it that way, and I feel great. You know, I feel really good, confident throwing the ball today.
I think when you watch the field, did you notice yourself holding the ball too long at any point?
No, I think that sometimes, I think my big thing I saw in that game was there were some throws that I wasn't accurate on. A few throws I threw, and I feel like if I completed those, it would have gotten us, you know, moving in a better direction. And, you know, sometimes it's going to break down, and I got to scramble around. And obviously on the throw, or non-throw where I got a concussion, I got to make sure I throw the ball away and be smart in that situation. So there's a lot of great learning experiences in that film. A lot of them were tough to watch, but I got to make sure I let them, you know, into my heart and, you know, take ownership and get out here and work on those things I did not do well.
One of the things Chip mentioned a couple times is you're setting your feet. When you looked at the film, was that a big part of the inaccuracy was your feet were set?
Not all the time they were in the right spot. So maybe I'm throwing right, they're facing out in the middle, I'm just throwing my arm, which I'm capable of making those throws, but, you know, you're going to miss some of them. You know, you're not always going to be accurate, and that's where it goes to. If you got man coverage and a guy running away from a guy, you have to be pinpoint accurate. You have no room for error, and I missed some on some of those throws, so that's what I'm really going to, you know, focus on this, because we got to have those throws, especially on third down, and that's on me. You know, third down's a big down for the quarterback to execute. I did not do a good job, but I'm going to get better. I'm going to make sure I do a better job next time.
Did the thought ever come into your head that you only get so many opportunities to kind of establish yourself in this league, and how fortunate do you feel that another opportunity is presenting itself right now?
No, I know that in life there's things that, you know, obviously you want to have a great game every game, and you want to win every game. And in life, you want to have a great day every day, but some days you do have bad days, and you can't let the bad days get you down no matter what. So I didn't look at it that way. I looked at that game as I want to get better because of this. I don't want this to bring me down. I'm going to look at it. It's going to be tough, but it's going to make me a better person, a better player. And we've had a few. I played in a few of those. You know, last year was some of those too, and, you know, it's made me, you know, mature, and I'm going to get better because of it. I know that. I'm going to look at it in a positive light, and I'm going to be who I am.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, thank you.
That was Nick Foles, and if he plays, he's going to play against actually a fairly good defense. The Raiders are 3-4 this season, and they're number 6 in the NFL against the run. They're keeping opponents at 90 yards per game, 89.9. So that's something that the Eagles' offense obviously relies on LeSean McCoy. If the Raiders can bottle up McCoy, then it's going to come down to Foles' arm. The Raiders have the number 17 overall pass defense in the NFL, keeping opponents to 241 yards per game. So the Eagles, in theory, would have more of a chance of being successful through the air than on the ground. They need the running attack to get better. LeSean McCoy is still the top runner in the NFL statistically, but he has struggled the past two games. So pay attention to that. On the other side of the ball, Oakland has dynamic young quarterback Terrell Pryor, who is probably the toughest running quarterback they faced this year. And the reason I put it that way is because when they played Robert Griffin III in the opener, Robert Griffin III was not completely all the way back yet. It was his first game after tearing his ACL. And Pryor is such a threat to run the ball. You saw that last week in their win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Oakland Raiders have the number 5 overall rushing offense in the NFL. They rush for 139 yards per game. Pryor is a big part of that. He is not as effective through the air this season. They're number 32 overall, so last in the NFL in pass offense, 176 yards per game. They have had specific games where they were more effective than others. You look at their win over San Diego on October 6th, 27-17, and Pryor did play fairly well in that game in terms of throwing the ball. He had 221 yards, completed 18 of 23 passes, so it was a strong performance, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and you look at that and you say Pryor is a threat to run the ball, is a threat to pass the ball. He's really developing here. It's been a pleasant surprise for the Raiders, and then something that is going to be key for the Eagles as they prepare to play Oakland on Sunday. We will have much to talk about next week about the Eagles-Raiders game. We'll see whether the Eagles are a 4-5 team or a 3-6 team. Those two records are quite different, and how the Eagles play this week in Oakland could determine a lot going forward, whether the Eagles can, in fact, turn around in the second half of the season, what Nick Foles' future might be this season going forward in Philadelphia. The storylines are rich. You can read them all in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and you'll hear them on the Bird's Eye View podcast. For the Philadelphia Inquirer, I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.